Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, that's fitting. Danny Gokey is this performer's name. I've actually seen him do this song live, and the place was pretty nutso, singing every word back to him. It's a really catchy song, and boy, does it apply to a manic Monday night in the postseason. This is why we love it, right? As much as people have been ragging on the NBA, and it's true, it seems like we go blowout to blowout to blowout to blowout, and I'm really hoping that this night serves as a catalyst where we'll have some competitive games, not just series that go the distance, but games within these series that are extremely competitive and give us compelling finishes. Between these two games, the Knicks and the Nuggets and their very distinct rallies, plus the Carolina Hurricanes and how they came back from down 3-0 to the Islanders late in the second period of that game, we had three very distinct flavor of comeback. It's a little bit like ice cream flavors. So we're asking you to rank the craziest comebacks of the night. And we've got a post up on Twitter at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page. And it really is, it just kind of depends upon your opinion and which ice cream flavor you like the best. Didn't we do that during the Final Four? I think we did. Final Four ice cream flavors. And it was one of those where we ended up just wanting to eat all of the flavors. No answer is wrong in this case. It's just a matter of opinion. Which one was craziest to you? Was it the Nuggets down 20 in the second half, chipping away? And every single time the Lakers took the lead in that last minute and 15 seconds, the Nuggets had an answer. And you get the true buzzer beater from Jamal Murray. Funny enough, I just had class here on the campus of Syracuse University a few hours ago before I got immersed in the playoffs. And I was telling my students, we were talking about sound, and without visual, what do you hear? It was one of the questions. Or as you're working on a radio show, because that's what I'm teaching, how can you give listeners the full body experience? How can you immerse them in a particular topic or a game that you're talking about, even though they can't see it with their own eyes? How do you give them the full experience? And I used a couple examples from the play-by-play world and also, believe it or not, used the trailer for Mission Impossible because that's a full-body experience. And just asking them, what do you hear? You can't see it, but what sounds, what music, what audio do you hear? What stands out to you? And I was telling them the story about the craziest finish I've ever seen in person, which was the Chris Jenkins buzzer beater, Villanova over North Carolina, national championship in Houston in 2016. And I was describing to them how Jenkins lets the ball fly, then the buzzer sounds, then it goes through the hoop, the crowd goes crazy, and the confetti guns go off, and I'm sure they were mic'd because they were so extremely loud. But that sequence where it's ball gets released, buzzer sounds, Then it goes through the hoop, and you've got this mass chaos that ensues. It wasn't as large a venue in the Mile High City on Monday night because we're talking NBA arena versus a football stadium, but it was just that crazy. Jamal Murray releases the shot over the top of Anthony Davis and his outstretched arm and his fingertips. Then the buzzer sounds, then the ball goes through the hoop, and then the crowd goes wild. So that sequence of noises and just really iconic sounds in sports, it's one of the reasons why I dig radio. So there's the Nuggets comeback. The Knicks, which we're going to talk about here in this segment and let you hear it, here, H-E-R-E versus H-E-A-R. The Knicks are down 5 points in the final 30 seconds. So this is not a slow burn like the Lakers getting torched over the, you know, only scoring 40 points in the second half and over the course of those two quarters, just coughing it up. This is so tight and dramatic that it's stunning for that reason alone. The Knicks are down five. In the final 30 seconds, they go from down five to up three. They score the final 8 points. And the way that it happened, everything had to go right because they're out of time. It's tight. It's close quarters. They need not just a turnover after, first of all, they need a Brunson bouncer, which is what I'm calling it. Jalen Brunson releases this awkward three-point shot from the corner, and it looks like it's no good. It bounces off the rim and back through, right? So it goes up in the air, and just the spin of the ball, it drops through. So it's a Brunson bouncer. Then as Philadelphia inbounds, the Sixers turn the ball over. I think there's going to be a whistle because it certainly looks like there's contact and a foul. No whistle. Dante DiVincenzo launches a three that isn't good. There's an offensive rebound for the Knicks. Back out to Dante, who then nails the go-ahead three with 13 seconds to go. So it's not a buzzer beater, but it's so dramatic in that. Well, and then the Sixers had a couple of opportunities themselves and couldn't get a shot to drop. But they go from, it's this wild swing, right? The seesaw in the final 30 seconds. And then we talked about the Hurricanes too against the Islanders. They're down 3-0. It's late second period. You could argue, what was the turning point of the game against the Islanders? Was it just getting on the board late in the second period, feeling like, okay, we're now within striking distance? Was it the first goal in the third period that now pulls them within one? Or is it the bang-bang of, and there's where the shocking element comes in, the bang-bang of the 2 goals in 9 seconds, and that happens late in this game, so they tie it. I think it was about 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go, tie it, and then they take the lead. And, of course, the empty netter is more of an exclamation point than anything. So for my money as a talk show host, these kinds of moments in sports are the ones I dig because of what they sound like and because of the emotional experience of the fans. And those are all the things I was talking about with my students a few hours ago, and then to have it play out the way that it did. And I even started the show by saying to you, I don't need to give you bells and whistles. I don't need to figure out what to talk about. It's not one of those nights. No, it's a night where the sports and the moments, they drive the bus and they carry us, which is amazing. I'm just following along. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm still here in Syracuse on the Infinity Sports Network in Control Room 3. Paul is back. So Paul's one of my students, a grad student actually, who was just telling me he finished up a TV package that he had to do for one of his other classes. And our class, our fourth class, where he has to let us all hear his radio segment that he's put together. That's his very last class as a student, which is amazing. So it's good to have him in here again. Josh was here earlier for a few minutes, but he had to be on camera at 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So these grad students are down to the final few days, and I certainly remember what that feels like. So I appreciate them taking the time to come over. Rank these crazy comebacks. Is it Nuggets? Is it Knicks? Is it Canes? Which one was most stunning? Which one would you like to watch again? If you didn't know that it was happening, that's actually kind of fun. Can you put the genie back in the bottle and watch it like you don't know what's coming? And we still want to give you more reaction from Nuggets and Lakers, but want to get into this Knicks-Sixers game. The Sixers led a few times 10 points was their largest lead, but they led a few times where they maybe thought they had it. Tyrese Maxey, another one of these incredible performances, man, it's fun to see him come into his own. 35 points for him, and he did have a big shot that put them up by 5 with 30 seconds to go. Right, so the Sixers were never really out of reach necessarily, or the Sixers didn't ever put it out of reach necessarily, but it felt like they were in control for, we'll say, most of the game. But it's a good back and forth. The Knicks are tough, and that crowd at Madison Square Garden is pretty incredible. So you have the Sixers with this huge performance from Tyrese. I got the time wrong. It was about a minute and 10 seconds to go. He put them up 100-96. But you also have a gutty performance from Joel Embiid. And the reason I say this is because he's clearly in pain. Whenever he comes off the court, he's got trainers talking to him. They're looking at him. He's grimacing. I mean, he is laboring to give it absolutely everything that he's got in this game. And he was brilliant for a good portion of it. So you've got 35 points from Maxey. You've got 34 points from Joel Embiid to go along with 10 rebounds and 6 assists. I mean, in his condition, and he's still trying to get back into basketball shape after being out for several months, in his condition, for him to go all in, blood, sweat, tears, that whole proverbial leave everything out there on the court, that's what an MVP does. I know his numbers or his time on the court this year wasn't enough for him to be eligible, and he would tell you he's not the MVP of the NBA this year, but this is what a leader does. This is what an MVP does. No matter how you feel, you give it absolutely everything you've got, for better or for worse. They did get 10 points from Tobias Harris, but again, not ever enough to bury the Knicks or to feel like they were safe. And they were never quite out of the danger zone. And I'll give the Knicks credit for this, too. And if you know their personality, they're a team of fighters. They're not a team of superstars. Jalen Brunson's terrific, and he's really come into his own since he's been there with the Knicks. Since he was traded there from the Mavericks, he's really blossomed into an incredible point guard and leader, though he's not shot well in this series either. It's kind of interesting, the parallels between Jamal Murray and Jalen Brunson. These two awesome point guards, all-star point guards, and yet neither one of them has shot well. But come kind of nitty-gritty and the late stages of these games, we see them rise to the occasion. And that's what the best players do. How often have we seen Steph Curry? Doesn't matter how poorly he shot over the course of a game, he's going to be there with the ball in his hands at the end. LeBron's another one of those guys. And yeah, I'm naming future Hall of Famers, but Jalen Brunson, Jamal Murray, they have that quality in that they're able to mentally put whatever's happened in the game behind them because my team needs me. So neither Jalen nor Jamal has shot particularly well in the first two games of their series and yet coming through at the end. So with the Knicks, you've got, all right, you've got the one star in Jalen Brunson. Julius Randle not available. Some people think Julius Randle actually is a guy who doesn't make the Knicks better, but limits their options. That's a whole other debate. He's not in this series. But the Knicks are a group of guys that are fighters. They're role players. Josh Hart's played amazingly well. Of course, end stages of game one and then on into this game where he has a double-double. And I do love the Villanova component of this. I think it helps when you've got guys who either have a connection or have played together before. Dante DiVincenzo also comes from Nova, which is kind of funny. So you've got three of their starting lineup, guys who came from a basketball culture where they're expected to win. But I love the fighting, the scratching, the clawing. I love the grit. I love the guts. And for that reason, the Knicks, not saying that they can come back from any deficit, but in this case, a 10-point deficit against a Sixers team that is laboring, against an MVP that is laboring, they were never out of it. It just took a few moments that went perfectly the way of the New York Knicks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Jay, let's pick it up. Well, I don't have the numbers, sorry, in front of me, trying to talk and look at numbers at the same time. But let's go with where the Sixers kind of get that lead with Tyrese Maxey.
Back to Tyrese. He turns the corner. He hangs, fires. It's good. Maxey delivers from the right wing. A 16-footer on the move. And Maxey gives the Sixers the lead. Maxey still dribbling to Joel. He turns the corner. Three to shoot. He goes back to Tyrese. Three-pointer in the air. It's good. Maxey with the biggest shot of the playoffs for the Sixers. He nailed it. And Maxey has made it a four-point game.
So there's where they're at the point, right, where they're the Sixers look like they're on the cusp. And even though there's plenty of time to go, you have Tyrese Maxey with just over a minute to go, makes it 196, and you hear that on the Sixers radio network. And then, you know, there's the whole coach's challenge, and, you know, the Sixers are challenging a foul. They don't get the call, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, going into the final minute then, Jalen misses a three. So, right, still not really locked in and not shooting well. And the Sixers get the rebound, and Dante DiVincenzo commits a foul. So Kyle Lowry makes one of the two at the other end, and that's where the five-point lead comes in. So now there's off the missed free throw, Brunson gets the rebound, and the Knicks have possession of the ball with 45 seconds to go, but they're down three. And this next sequence is pretty incredible. So the final 30 seconds are where the stunner comes in, the shock value, if you will, shock and awe. Remember those words going back to when I was first getting into radio, shock jocks? That was a big thing. I don't know if that's still a thing now in radio, but there is a lot of radio that it's all about just shocking you as much as they can, saying something crazy, hot take type of thing. Oh, yeah, you don't need them for these final 30 seconds of the Knicks and Sixers.
Loose ball picked up by DiVincenzo, circling at the top of the arc, into the corner. Brunson, pump fake, three-pointer, left side, front rim, gets the roll! Three-pointer is good! It's a two-point game! Knicks down two with 27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxey, gets the ball back, falls to the floor, stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound, he kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again, knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
So it's not a buzzer beater, but what the Nuggets and the Knicks have in common, in addition to the win, is the crowd and the electricity and the noise behind them. So with 13 seconds left, Dante nails that three. And as I say, the sequence, it's nutty. Jalen takes the three from the corner. It bounces up off the rim. I mean, probably got a good foot off the rim and then back down through the cylinder. So that happens, and it's 101-99, as you hear on Knicks radio. Then Tyrese Maxey turns the ball over. So Josh Hart's got active hands. He's in there. He's able to grab that ball. But there were other guys around him. Maxey kind of got, I wouldn't say swallowed up, but he got swarmed by a couple of different Knicks. So this is Tom Thibodeau defense, right? This is the pressure. This is unrelenting. This is you get your ass out there and you defend type of a thing. That's Tom Thibodeau. His intensity starts on the defensive end, and we've seen that with the Knicks. Not a lot of offensive star power outside of Jalen, Julius when he wants to. But what they have is a team that will defend and are physical, and they're tough and they're hard-nosed. And while initially when Tom Thibodeau got this job, it didn't necessarily translate, now you can see where that defense has become a quality, that toughness and that aggressiveness has become a quality of these Knicks. So Tyrese loses the ball. Dante gets one shot at a triple from the top of the key. It's errant. So 15 seconds to go. And what happens? Isaiah Hartenstein flies in and gets the offensive board. And to me, well, you know, I love offensive rebounds. They're sexy as hell. But to me, that is, again, emblematic of the Knicks and their hustle and the hustle stats, if you will. They get it back out to Dante, which I think is cool because he gets another chance. How much do we love the mini redemption stories in sports? And Dante nails this one. The crowd goes crazy, and now there's 13 seconds to go. However, they're not done. At this point, the Knicks are only up by the 1 point, and so you've got multiple shots still for the Sixers on the other end. Tyrese misses one, end up that, you know, Joel Embiid has a triple kind of at the end, too. That one was That was a tough sequence for the Sixers. I know they wanted Maxey to take the shot, but he didn't feel like he had it. He hesitated. The window closed. He finds Embiid. I wasn't even sure Embiid got it off before the buzzer sounded. He did, but it was not a great look, and it bounces kind of high off the rim. And so we'll let you hear the Sixers version after we come back from the break. But just the way that this one played out, it was so stunning for the Knicks, for their fans. And yet, if you know how the Knicks play basketball, yeah, a lot of things had to go right, but it wasn't so completely beyond the realm of possibility that they would force a turnover, that they would get an offensive rebound, because those are kind of the qualities that embody how the Knicks play.
It was loud as hell in there. And so after I missed the first one, I was really, 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 really hoping that Isaiah got it, because I knew that, you know, the rotation of everything, I was going to get a second look. So thank God he got the offensive rebound.
How about that? So that's the version of Dante DiVincenzo. He said it's loud as hell in there. And just that moment of, hey, please get the ball back to me. I can do it the second time. And I love that they feed him. They're not looking for someone else. He's the guy that's open. Don't overthink it. Give him another chance. And the ball goes in. And then Josh Hart with his version of that final sequence.
JB did a great job denying that we were able to get the, you know, get that steal, kick it out, and Tay was able to hit that, that shot. So it was crazy. It was hectic. But at that point, we have nothing to lose. We got to be as physical as we can. And, it panned out.
Jay, no Jalen Brunson? I know I have an incomplete list here, but did we hear anything from Jalen?
Jalen had, a microphone issue.
Oh.
I couldn't hear what
well,
he was
that
saying.
Sucks.
It was in a he was on the podium with the two other guys, but he answered a question, and it was inaudible.
Oh, that sucks. All right, so a little bit, I don't know if that's controversy, although I did hear that there's maybe potentially a protest by the Sixers of this game, because Nick Nurse was so upset that he was trying to call timeout and couldn't get one.
They score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
I hate to food.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Game one down. But I'm sure the 2 minute report is going to come out and, you know, we're going to see, you know, what happened. But, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable. Yeah, that's not on them. That's not on any of us. We fought for 47 minutes and whatever, 20 seconds. And for that to happen, that's not okay.
So Joel Embiid also has a beef with the officiating and with the way that this played out down the stretch, and says we did everything that we could to win, but we can't control the officiating. And I mean, I don't think I buy that. I understand that you're not going to agree with every call. I do get that. But to not only, and maybe he's referring to the fact that they don't get the timeout. I think it's kind of big picture there, but Nick Nurse tried to call a timeout in an arena in an atmosphere as loud as that one. It may feel like the officials looking right at you, and there's so much going on. We talk about sensory overload. It just could be that the official didn't see him, as frustrating as that is for Nick Nurse. And Dante even said it was huge. It was loud as hell in there, right? And then you've got that, but you've also got these other moments that the Sixers cannot blame on the officials, just like the Lakers can't blame the officials for a 20-point collapse. You know, you can't blame the officials for an offensive rebound. You can't blame the officials for this turnover on the inbound, even though Nurse says that that's where he wanted the timeout, which would have advanced the ball. You also can't blame the officials for Dante DiVincenzo hitting the shot of his life. So I don't love that look. I get that they're frustrating, and at times we all are looking for someone to blame. But the Knicks, they created this opportunity. And it's fun, the history of it, too. In the play-by-play era that goes back to 96-97. So you're talking about, fairly big sample size of several decades. But the play-by-play, I don't know why they call it that, the play-by-play era, it's only the fourth time that a team has won a postseason game after trailing by at least five in the final 30 seconds. So, yeah, you've got a few of these moments that, gosh, I remember a couple of these in the NBA Finals in 2013. Ray Allen, remember Miami against San Antonio and the big Ray Allen shot? That was game six. And then the Heat go on to win in game number seven. Also, Golden State, of course, is in there. And then this one may stand out to some of you. Kobe Bryant hit a game winner to beat the Suns in a first-round series in 2006. And Tyrese Maxey was sick, still had the 35 points, the 10 assists, the 9 rebounds. He was amazing. He actually missed their morning shoot-around because he wasn't feeling well and didn't have a ton of energy. Embiid gave it everything he had. So I understand the frustration. But to blame the officials for it, to me, is lame. I mean, it's lame. It's missing the forest for the trees, so to speak. What was the craziest comeback of the night? You can rank them on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. There were three of them that were pretty nutso, and we're going to sift through the rubble, if you will, of a manic Monday night in the postseason on both the court and the ice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Brunson with the rebound. New York on the move left to right. Sixers lead by five. Brunson on a dash. Into the lane up at two. Back out to Hart. Now back to Brunson. New York with the ball. Lowry right there. He knocks it away. It's loose. He steals the ball. It's back out top, though. DiVincenzo with it. New York on the move to the corner. Brunson. He fades Maxey. Shoots a three. Rimming. Good. He got it. He's made it 101-99. Sixers look to inbound. 27 seconds to go. It goes to Maxey. He dropped it. He's doubled. He's knocked down. No call. Maxey loses it. They get it. Three for the tie. No good. Rebound Hartenstein. 16 seconds to go. Back to Dante. Three-point shot out top. Is good. And they take the lead. 102-101. Maxey lost the ball. And the Garden is full of bedlam. Dante DiVincenzo got two cracks at it for three. The Sixers were rolling around with the ball, and the Knicks for now have taken the lead. 102-101.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Really extensive call there from Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio, and it goes back to even before the Jalen Brunson three that goes high off the rim. And he mentions the moment where I thought there actually might be a whistle. It seemed like there was contact with Tyrese Maxey when he coughed up that ball. Now, I have no trouble or no issue with officials allowing guys to play. That doesn't bother me as long as you're calling it the same on both ends. So that's the only thing I ever asked when I was playing basketball or when I was competing. As long as the officials are calling it the same way, I prefer that they let us play. And I think in the postseason, you're going to see NBA officials do more of that. It's less of the constant whistles and parading guys to the free throws, to the free throw line, excuse me, which is boring as heck. But you are going to see maybe a little more of that physical quality in the postseason. So as long as they're judicious and applying the same calls or same strategy on both ends, I'm good with that. But yeah, Tyrese Maxey, I thought there was going to be a whistle. I don't know. Maybe it was just me thinking that I missed a whistle somehow and they should have stopped there. But you hear that with Tom as well. I don't know if the Sixers stop playing or if there's that part of it. But Dante DiVincenzo gets two shots at it and is able to get the second one to go down. And then on the other end, it was a final few seconds for the Sixers in which I think they were hoping that Maxey would end up with the ball in his hands because he had shot well and he had some big shots in that fourth quarter. But the defense was good by the Knicks, and he hesitated, and that the opening that he had, the advantage he had, kind of closed up, and he had to pass it off to Embiid, who really didn't have a great look or any time to try to get his feet set or anything like that. He was off balance. And I mean, I give credit to Tyrese Maxey and Joel. Joel's playing through injury, and Tyrese is not feeling well.
I don't feel great at all, honestly. I mean, I don't like taking medicine. Everybody knows that. Like, I really can't stand taking medicine, but I took medicine. IV, I did whatever they asked me to do. And
we're going to win this series. We're going to win this.
What did he say?
We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
I'm sorry, Joel. What? I think we might have to replay that. Did you hear what Joel Embiid said post-game?
We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Not only are we going to win this series, referring to the Sixers, we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting. Wow. You think that's going to make it into the Knicks locker room? If it hasn't already, it will. We're the better team. We figured out what we had to do. We made the adjustments, which is true. We're going to win this series.
We're going to win this series.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to keep that Joel Embiid prediction around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on the campus of Syracuse University. This is frustrating, I know, for the guys who come out on the losing end. The Lakers are just as frustrated as the Sixers, though you have a slow burn for the Lakers as they kind of crash and burn. But with the Sixers, it's completely different because it happens so quickly. And it's so completely nutso inside Madison Square Garden as it does, which is why I love kind of the juxtaposition of these two comebacks. One takes an entire half and is capped with a buzzer beater. Another takes all of 30 seconds and there isn't a buzzer beater, but there's a wild sequence from the category of you can't make this stuff up. And so those two kind of put back-to-back, which is what they were. We go right from the Knicks beating the Sixers in those final 30 seconds to, you know, the Nuggets and the Lakers game. So digesting one and then getting the other one right on top of that is pretty incredible. So yeah, I loved it. As for Tom Thibodeau, I mean, you want to talk about slow burn. With the Knicks, they've been working on this culture, they've been working on this identity for several years and just haven't had the personnel. The draft picks by the front office, for the most part, have been atrocious. Jay, remind me the stat that you gave me last night about the New York Knicks and their draft picks going back to the 90s.
It was in 2018, they signed Mitchell Robinson to, or maybe it wasn't Mitch, I think he was a second round pick, but recently they signed their, they hadn't signed their a first round draft pick since 1994 until I believe it was 2018. So for that entire stretch from 94 to 2018, all the first round picks they had drafted, they had not given any single one of those players a second contract.
So they, and then even after that, though, they've made some moves, draft moves, free agent moves that just haven't panned out. It's felt like a, well, like my Italian grandmother throwing spaghetti against the wall to see if it would stick. Gosh, it's kind of like the Denver Broncos and their quarterback room right now, or really going back to when Peyton Manning retired. I have zero clue what they're doing, and trading for Zach Wilson, I don't get that either, but we'll I don't know if we're going to, I guess we'll get to some football, but it's secondary right now, which is rare because this is draft week, but I digress. And so the Knicks made some moves that were cringy, not just draft moves, but free agent moves. So it's taken them quite a while to get to the point where they have not just the personnel that fits Tom Thibodeau, but they also have the leadership in Jalen Brunson, and they've got the fans that are just over the moon, and the two seed, which helps them, though of course Boston is still the team to beat in the East. But yeah, I like the fact that this wasn't a quick fix for the Knicks. Oh, and by the way, Carmelo Anthony at MSG, just reveling in all of it. It's funny how much camera time he gets, right? Since the last time the Knicks were in the playoffs as a relatively high seed, it was when Carmelo was still part of the roster. So for Tom Thibodeau, it's a bit of redemption that it's finally playing out the way that he wanted it to.
Well, there's been some pretty wild finishes, but that was right up there with the best of them. I mean, that just shows you what the playoffs are all about. And oftentimes it's a hustle play here, hustle play there, just finding a way to win.
And that's really a hallmark of his teams, but also this Knicks team, which I don't want to say is devoid of star power, but it's not like you're talking about a core three with the Golden State Warriors, you know, Steph and Dre and Clay. It's not like you're talking about LeBron James and the groups that he puts around him. Hell, it's not even like you're talking about LeBron and AD. I mean, there isn't an AD for Jalen's LeBron, if you will. I'm not sure if that's sacrilegious. Marco Belletti is in studio back at our headquarters. And so I can't see him, but I know he's there. And I'm wondering how you would rank these comebacks, the three crazy comebacks that we had on Monday night.
I think for the dramatic aspect of it, the Knicks one, because you didn't see it coming. Like you said, the Laker one was that slow burn. This Knicks one was, I mean, the game was over. You're down 5 points with the basketball with 27 seconds left, and it took them forever to get that possession, to be able to get the Brunson three. It was the only three shot that he was able to go all night.
Right.
It didn't feel like there was something brewing. It felt like it was just kind of, this is over. It's just a question of what the final score is. So that kind of came out of nowhere, and then the crowd erupting the way it did. That always helps as well. It's wild the way the Knicks were able to snatch defeat in this one, because they really had no business winning this game. For most of the game, I know they were up in a lot in the second half. They really had no business winning this game because Jalen Brunson, who is their best player, was awful. I mean, mm-hmm. He's been awful in the first two games. So the fact that they're up 2-0 is kind of a miracle for the Knicks.
Yeah, incredible. So after the Knicks, would it be Nuggets or Canes?
I think I would go with the Nuggets. I know it's easier because you're the defending champ, but you're still doing this against the Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I would still go there. And then the Hurricanes, the fact, once they got to 3-2, you just felt like everything. It was almost like a question of when, and then it happened in the blink of an eye.
All right. So Marco Belletti gives us the Knicks, Nuggets, Canes. I've seen a bunch of you on our Facebook page who are going with the Canes. Now there's, I don't want to call it a slow burn. It also wasn't instantaneous, so it's kind of amalgamation. No, that's the wrong word. I'm gonna have to look that one up. I can feel it in my brain, but it's not coming out right. It's a compilation. Well, we'll use that one, of the Knicks and the Nuggets, and the, you know, the stark contrast of, as Marco was pointing out, those two different comebacks. It's the Jamal Murray buzzer beater that makes the Nuggets so dramatic. But the Canes are kind of somewhere in the middle. They're the happy medium, if you will, where they're down late in the second period. Sure, there's a lot of time still, but it takes them until the late stages of the third period to get those two goals in 9 seconds. And so you have not just the slow burn, but also the bang, bang that happens so quickly. And so, yeah, in hockey too, it's incredible, because I don't want to say no lead is safe, but the momentum swings over the course of a hockey game, even if there are no goals scored, you can have a team dominate and still not have a lot to show for it. I love that each of these teams that rallied, though, did it at home, and the fans got a treat in that respect. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Got a bunch of Lakers fans who are arguing about their team and how they collapsed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the empty net at the other side, Svechnikov to it. His shot blocked. Kept in by Carolina. Jarvis with it. Svechnikov to it. They score! Sebastian Aho! And the roof's gone at PNC Arena. And there's still time left here. As Martin backs it in, he scores! Jordan Martinuk with the steal and the finish! And it's 4-3 Carolina! What a comeback! Canes can get to it, Svechnikov. He'll play a three. Aho up for Gensel.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, man. Give me chills listening and then watching, too, the fan reaction in Raleigh, as well as in New York at Madison Square Garden and in Denver, with these three home teams that all rally in improbable fashion with incredibly dramatic sequences. We've talked about the Knicks. We've talked about the Nuggets and the game winner. And how about the Carolina Hurricanes, who were down at home 3-0 to the Islanders late in the second period. They do get on the board before the second period is done, which I think maybe kind of takes some of that pressure off just a little bit. But still, there are 3 minutes to go, and they're playing long shifts, and they're exhausted, and you've got this Sebastian, well, empty netter, right? So they've got an extra skater on the ice. But you've got Sebastian Aho, who's kind of posted up right next to the Islanders' net, and he's able to deflect a puck into the back of the net that ties it. They're still, if you watch the TV broadcast, it's kind of funny. On TV, they are still giving you the deets on the Sebastian Aho goal and talking about that. They're doing the face-off at center ice, and 9 seconds later, it's Jordan Martinuk who is able, from kind of behind the net on the left side, to curl the puck into just inside the net, just inside the iron. And so it was pretty amazing to watch, and the reaction to going from down three to up two. So a swing similar to the Knicks, though it did take longer than 30 seconds, haha. But the 9 seconds, so dramatic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University. Martinuk. Jordan Martinuk is the one who, 9 seconds after Sebastian Aho, is able to get that go-ahead goal.
I don't really know how to describe it. You get a whole
it's just like juice that hits you. And then, yeah, obviously I get in on the forecheck and luckily be able to pick them and make that play.
Now, this is the team that's favored, right? The Islanders are not, I don't want to say they're not supposed to win any games here, but the Islanders get into the playoffs because of how they perform over the last couple of weeks of the regular season. It was kind of touch and go there for a while. But the Carolina Hurricanes are a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They've been so good over the course of the season. But comebacks like this, not only do they require things to go your way, right? They require a sequence where you've got moments that break your way, and you're by virtue of how you do it, you are causing, I don't believe in luck, so you're causing those moments to play out in your favor. But that's why it's so stunning, is that it requires not just your team doing its job at the highest level and going after those hustle stats in the case of the Knicks, but getting rebounds in the case of the Islanders. But it also requires the other team to not be doing its job at the highest level too. And so there's kind of the yin and yang of it. I go back to Atlanta Falcons and their collapse in the Super Bowl 28-3, and how many times I said it wasn't just the Patriots. It was the Falcons who opened the door wide enough for a semi-truck to drive through. Well, that's what these losing teams did on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.